Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
It was a big weekend, a long weekend of high-class racing, all starting last Friday night at Moonee Valley with the Moyer Stakes, and we saw an old stage at Back to the Best over the 1,000 metres, and then, of course, the Everest puzzle. Did it get any clearer, or is it still all jumbled up in your mind? We're taking your calls on 13 53 53 on this edition of Punters Postmortem, and also text messages. Get them rolling in. 0419 767 272. But we saw a brilliant performance by Bivouac. What a group of three-year-olds we do have. A race record in the Golden Rose. Is it the Everest? Well, according to James Cummings, the Everest is a serious option, but it could be the Coolmore, the Caulfield Guineas. And yes, was very, very good. And Huey Bowman with a broken finger still gets the job done. So much happening. And then an old stager, Black Heart Bart, came from the clouds. 100-1. Who would have thought to win the Underwood Stakes yesterday, knocking off the hot favourite in Holmesman. So it's all happening. Good morning, Ronnie Duffersey.
Yeah, good morning, TK. A big, big weekend of racing starting Friday night. And punters may have been treading water Friday, Saturday, but it was a bloodbath there yesterday at Caulfield. Yeah, look at some of those winners, 60-1, 100-1, 20-1. It was tough work, but that's racing. The Golden Rose did not let us down. It's a high rating race, maybe only 8 runners, but some serious, serious horse flesh on offer there.
And that's the question to our listeners this morning. If you had Bivouac, what would you do? The Everest is an option, according to James Cummings. Would you push forward? They're an outstanding group of three-year-olds, and probably the most impressive win of the entire weekend came from Shadow Hero, which won the Gloaming. Good morning to you, Glenn Munsey.
Good morning, TK. Good morning, Ronnie, and good morning to Gator when he comes on. Well, the only thing that comes out of the weekend, guys, I would say, if you've got a three-year-old in Sydney, I'd be putting it on the float and sending it to Melbourne for either the guineas there, the 1,000 guineas, or the Caulfield guineas. The Caulfield guineas winner came out of a Class 5 race at the Sunshine Coast, and the 1,000 guineas prelude winner came out of winning a maiden at Echuca and a midweek race at Sandown. So if you've got a three-year-old in Sydney and you think it can get over a bit of a trip, I'd be putting it on the float and then bringing it back here for the other races in Sydney.
Well, I think that's a bit of a backhanded welcome to David Gately. G'day, Gator.
Yeah, no, I don't take any offence because I don't own any of them. I just do what I do, and that's form. Yeah. We had a similar scenario last year, didn't we? We had a field of, I won't say hacks, but certainly below average racehorses. The Autumn Sun came here, sat three wide, and absolutely, well, I think he lapped half the field. This year's Golden Rose has rated significantly higher than last year's. They've gone 121.88 here off a 48.1 first 800. So last year, the Autumn Sun actually ran slower overall time despite a significantly faster first 800. So they're an elite crop. This year, we've said it for weeks. They're absolutely elite, especially these first four over the line in the Golden Rose. And Australian racing needs it, given three of the first four home in the Underwood were nine-year-olds. And I think they all get to vote next year, so it's a problem.
Yeah, and what we need to everybody is we need these star three-year-olds, which we've clearly got, Gade, but we need one of them to keep on racing.
That's exactly it. We need to keep them around, and credit to specifically Racing New South Wales, who've taken aim at that with some races that have been programmed. So I'm very hopeful and confident that there'll be a flow-on effect there.
And there already is, as Glenn said, put them on the guineas and the Caulfield guineas and the 1,000 guineas. But with already a filly down there called Flit, who was unplaced yesterday. But I'd suggest she still has to be deserved favourite for the 1,000.
I thought unlucky, Ronnie.
Yeah, she
did. I thought unlucky. What did you think, Gator? Flit?
Look, we've all watched a lot of replays over a lot of years. She looked about ready to explode just as she ran into the dead end there and was dead set brick wall, stopped in her track. I think she was absolute moral beaten, and bad luck could beat her in the 1,000 guineas, but none of those horses can.
Yeah, no. Well, go through them, mate. Tenley finished well back.
Missed the start, had some traffic issues, inconclusive run, but I think Flit's a better horse.
Liar?
She was good. She's got a seat at the table. She came from a long way back. She also drew out. She made really good ground, on a much better race and day to be handy. So a good effort, but as I say, I think with clear running, Flip beats her home still.
Yeah, and Acting, I mean, Tommy Berry's in a real purple patch, Gator, isn't he? Acting winning that by paying $21.
Yeah, look, he is riding beautifully, and that horse, the win had some merit, even allowing for the pattern and the traffic issues behind, given it was taken on sort of before the turn by a 1,000-to-1 shot. I think it was the only 1,000-to-1 shot on the day not to win. But then he kicked away and won in pretty good style. But I think, you know, if you watch the race, if you ran the race 10 times, Acting probably wins one of them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And again, that pattern of racing from Flit doesn't help the chances there. Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. Nature Strip. Geez, we've spent a lot of time talking about this horse. You've still got it as a $15 chance in the Everest, but clearly doesn't have a slot yet. And again, if you have a bet and they don't get a slot, you get your money back.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's there, TK, because there is, well,
speculation.
There's at least one slot still available, and after Saturday, there could be two with Enticing Star.
Correct.
At the moment, one of the longest prize horses ever. In the Everest, we've only had two, but only Fell Swoop has started a longer price in the Everest than what Enticing Star is at the moment.
$51.
$51 chance. But Godolphin have still yet to basically stamp what their runner will be. Will it be Osborne Bulls? Will it be Bivouac? Will it be Elise? James Harron still has to pick his representative. Will he pick Nature Strip? Will he pick a second Godolphin runner? When Godolphin choose their number one seed, does James Harron go to Godolphin and say, righto, well, you've picked your number one seed. Can I have one of your other runners? Does he pick Nature Strip? Do the Chris Waller slot owners, who have Enticing Star at the moment, jump ship to another runner? We've got Coolmore. 10 Sovereigns arrived yesterday, I think. He's now ensconced at the quarantine centre at Canterbury.
And he's a runner.
And he is a runner as long as the track remains dry. So if we get a wet track, there's Coolmore with the opportunity to throw another runner in on their behalf.
Yep.
So it's still not set completely in stone at the moment who we're going to get in the Tab Everest on the 19th of October.
And, Ronnie, we see Osborne Bulls for the first time this weekend.
Yeah, look forward to that. And I'm looking forward to having another look at Classique Legend to see, you know, if there's a progression of improvement with him, because he's a bit of an X factor with different, you know, not different form after first up, but last preparation, different form. He looks a real emerging talent. So there's a lot, I agree, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge as far as this race is concerned. I could sit down here with a notepad and write a page on every horse of pros and cons. And,
sure.
And that's that type of race. And there's no dead wood, as you'd expect in a race like this.
Yeah, $14 million brings out the very, very best. If Bivouac was mine, I think I'd have a throw at the stumps in the Everest, as long as the horse could stand up to it, as long as the horse was telling me the right things. It's not that often you get a crack at the $14 million, and there's no reason why Godolphin couldn't have two runners or maybe three runners in the Everest.
No reason. They get some really nice horses at the moment, and they know how to pick one up, and they're going to be competitive no matter what they run. So there's three big names there. Osborne Bulls, Elise, another two real back markers, and Bivouac, who can box seat.
And Gator, I'm probably going against one of my thought patterns and certainly against my pocket, because the old Warriors, as far as, you know, when you get to this elite level, the sprinters, the hard nuts, they're the hard heads, they're hard to get past. They're in for a fight because they've been there so often before. But if you had Bivouac, what would be your thinking?
Look, purely from a punting perspective, I'd love to see it, just because he adds another dimension to the race. And he can sit up on the speed and can run the times of a very good horse. And, you know, again, they run quicker than the older horses, which seems to be happening every single week with the three-year-olds in Sydney, female or male. So I think he's highly competitive in the race. Put it this way, I think he gets by Redzel in the run, and then if he can hold off the swoopers, then he might have a big payday.
Yeah, and look, it's the three-year-old angle. We've had 2 3-year-olds run in this race, and it's short history. And I think Tulip run fourth as a filly.
Yeah, good run.
And Graf run a very good race, running, you know, just behind them. And they got back a bit as well. But at least this horse is, he can put himself into a, he's a sprinter.
The other 3-year-olds were Hootson and She Will Reign. There was 3 3-year-olds in the first Epsom. There was Tulip, there was Hootson, there was She Will Reign. So 3 fillies. Tulip ran 5th and got beat 2.5 lengths. Hootson ran 7th and got beat 3.25 lengths. And She Will Reign actually started one of the favourites in the race, ran 2nd last, but still only got beat 4.5 lengths. So, you know, no disgrace in any of those. And then, of course, we had the wet track in the second Everest. Graf ran 5th and still only got beat 4 lengths.
Mm.
Yeah, well, so, the 3-year-olds are right in there. And you'd have to say to yourself, Bivouac, yes, 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 or even Exceedance, but Michael Hawke said definitely no.
Definitely
and funnily
not.
Enough, Coolmore said no, no, no to yes, yes, yes.
not bad.
But you'd say Bivouac is going into the Everest with a far, far better record than any of those 4 3-year-olds had when they went into the race.
Yeah, Gator, do you like it when a horse... Well, I'm pretty sure Bivouac got headed by yes, yes, yes. You like the fact that a young horse like that can then knuckle back down again and come again and finish off like Bivouac did?
Oh, for sure. I mean, what was not in question was his talent. I guess what we hadn't seen in his short career to date was him in a two-horse war.
Yep.
In a dogfight, and it's another string to your bow, isn't it? If you've got a mix of class and courage, it'll take you a very long way.
Yep, and also we hadn't seen him at 1400, but he really double ticked that box as well. So he ticked every box possible there on Saturday.
It's funny talking about Bivouac and how good Bivouac was, and yes, 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 and Exceedance. But then I probably started the program by saying the most impressive win was probably from Shadow Hero, Duff.
Oh yeah, he's I think everyone's onto him. He ran right up to his good first up run there, and then he
put a gap in him, mate. Didn't he?
I know everything went right tempo wise and the ride that he got, but he was just so dominant, and he's going to get better. Believe me, when he hits the 2400, he's going to get better again, and he'll get better next start too in the Champion Stakes.
Victoria Derby Market, Glenn?
Well, before his race on Saturday, on Saturday morning, he was an $8 chance. He'd firmed into $6 prior to actually running in the gloaming with support. Some punters took $8, some punters took $6, and after the race, he was made a $2.50 favourite.
Wow.
For the Victoria Derby. Quick Thinker, who he beat on Saturday, is the only other runner in single figures. Second pick at $8. You've got Adelaide Ace and Just Thinking. Just Thinking, of course, finished behind Shadow Hero on Saturday, $11 each of two, and then a whole stack of them at $15. And, Mark Newnham, he's spoiled for choice because he's got Celestial Falls in the Oaks, comes off winning the Oaks trial on Wednesday. And it's the second pick in the Oaks down there as a $10 chance behind Probabil, who's an $8 chance. Mark Newnham sitting pretty with the staying 3-year-olds at this time.
Yeah, and he's got a nice stayer in Scarlet Dream who's going to run in the, I think, maybe the Metrop on Saturday.
Yeah, was scratched on the weekend, Duff?
Yeah, I think she was going to run on Saturday not knowing where she stood in this race as far as order of entry is concerned.
Oh, right.
Once they done a whip around, said, no, she'll be right. She'll get in the field.
Oh, she'll be sweet.
That she's just holding back for this.
Yeah, she's an $11 chance in the Metrop, and that barrier draws tomorrow morning. So final field for the Epsom and the Metrop tomorrow morning. Barrier draws from 10:30.
Why isn't Stampede in that market, Glenn?
Because Stampede, nominated for the Metropolitan, didn't pay the first acceptance.
I don't think there was a first acceptance.
Well,
I looked last night. Right. And on Riser, and it's got nomination and acceptances, and I can't see a thing where it's first acceptances. So
that's what I usually do with them when they take them out. I would have thought there was a first acceptance because it was there in the original market, and then was taken out.
Yeah, it's just a bit of a mystery for me, that one, and I'm sure the Waterhouse Stable think he's still in it. They're still saying we're weighing up our options. So
yeah, we'll find out a lot more tomorrow.
You haven't had him in the market. That's what what made me think he's not in it, but it may be just an oversight. That's what I'm thinking.
Gator, about the Victoria Derby, and you got Shadow Hero there. I mean, such a short price favourite, but the history will tell you the Victoria Derby's sometimes not won by the best horse. It can be just won by the best stayer. You know, a 3-year-old over 2,500 metres, it's a very, very foreign trip for them. And that's the only concern, I guess. Maybe Shadow Hero could be too brilliant.
Yeah, look, it's a possibility. I think you can get away with that, though. A bit of brilliance, as I've seen time and time again with the age group. It can override your lack of endurance against your own age. Obviously, it gets shown up, you know, as you get into with the big boys later in next year. But look, he's a deserved favourite off that win. It was phenomenal. You watch him through the line as well, and Ronnie, you would have seen him. He just kept running. He was, I think, he was about eight in front, a couple hundred metres past the line. So, so I think it's a great sign.
Yeah, I think he's more to the side of being a strong staying type than a brilliant
type. Than just brilliant, yeah. Yeah.
I've got no doubts.
Looked pretty brilliant on the weekend.
I saw him in Queensland. He was sort of, you know, he was just a stayer. He's just a stayer. He's not a brilliant 1900 metre horse. He's a dead set stayer, this
Duff,
horse.
Maybe my memory's just still burnt from some of those good things I've been on in the Derby.
It can happen.
And you've seen these things, you know, Monaco Consul and Lion Tamer and, you know, Rebel Raider.
It's all about timing.
You know, some of these horses come and knock you off from what you thought was the good thing and clearly the best horse in that particular race. 13.53.53, we're going to have to discuss this because it was a back-to-form effort for Nature Strip. J-Mac and Waller going down there for the Moyer Stakes on Friday night, Gator. Sunlight was third, but... hoping for an Everest start for Nature Strip, and they can still qualify by winning the Scalacci, can't they? And they'll get automatic entry.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, he adds another dimension. He'd be a great talking point in the race. He's still a legitimate 1200-metre question mark, certainly at the elite level. He's won at the trip and ran good time that day, but he certainly didn't have any pressure. He was just a class above. It's a different sort of level here. What I found interesting was his time. He ran 57.78 and went out 23.23. So he was beaten in this race last year. And everyone said he went way too hard. He went 23.04 last year and knocked up. Overall time was only 0.08 of a second quicker. So he did go quicker last year, no doubt. But the difference is, I think, his ability to be able to harness that energy. And you saw him behind the barriers on Friday night, and he looked as calm as I've seen him. You know, he had a 10-18 split, 8 to the 6, his black caviar sort of type, and he was entitled to get tired, but he wins his races mid-race, not at the end of them, and that's going to be the question at 1,200.
What are your thoughts, Duff?
Yeah, look, I'm very similar.
It's a massive question mark, isn't it?
I like him a lot more than other people. I just like how he looks, and I don't think he's wound up yet. And I think he's got the horse mentally right, even though we were put out of that.
I didn't think that to start before.
No, that's right. We were put out of that comfort zone first up, but that's when they slowed in front of him, and he just wanted to grab the bit then. But I've got a funny feeling from in front in a 1200, where he just bluffs everyone out of it, he may relax a little bit better. McDonald just glows about this horse, and he knows what a good horse is. I wouldn't be... Look, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't be tipping him in an Everest.
No.
But I think he could run a cheeky race.
Okay. Yep, there's no reason not to. Certainly with 100 to go, you'd think you're going to be there in the reckoning. 13.53.53 would take your views regarding that as well. What you would do with a Nature Strip. Mr. Seawolf on the weekend in the Shannon Stakes, that was 1,500 metres. Chrissy Waller's reluctant to back up. He believes it just goes better with the run space there.
Yeah, that was what he said in the interview after race. So it probably doesn't look likely. And he said unless the owners put their foot down. But, yeah, he's got him going really well. It was one of the better runs first up against the bias.
Yeah, what did you think? Because initially it looked like there was that, you know, the fast pad down, you know, what, seven... six and seven off, and then they started coming, they won down the fence as well.
On Saturday?
Yeah.
No, I got no issues with the track on Saturday.
Yeah.
You'll find a lot of horses did travel on the fence in the run.
Yep.
We were put completely off the ball there in the first race when they all headed to the middle. I said, hello, what's going on here? What are these blokes seeing out there? It was a fresh pad of grass, first time they'd been in there in seven meetings, and they want nothing to do with it. I thought, hello. This is going to be the norm for the day. They're going to dodge that whole 7 metres.
It was Adam Hieronymus, wasn't it? He went out there intentionally.
He did.
Yeah.
So he might have been under instructions that the fence mightn't be any good early in the day. But I think a lot of horses travelled fence in run at some stage during the their races. I think it was a fair. I just marked it fair, unless you want to nitpick and say you might have had to travel on the fence at some stage and all this sort of stuff. But I've seen worse tracks than that.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're doing the form, you can do the form without any sort of bias
without confusing yourself,
minus or pluses to any of the particular runs. Guys, everyone is saying bivouac for the Everest. If that's the case, wouldn't Waller put yes, yes, yes in his own slot?
They don't want him in there, Coolmore. They own half the horse, and I think they might be thinking he is the Caulfield Guineas horse. He's the Sydney horse they need in Melbourne for the taking.
Yeah.
Or they want to win their own race with him, the Coolmore, which is a very prestigious race. A tough race to win. I think the Guineas would be, if they thought he could go close to running a mile, might be a better option, but they'd love to win the Coolmore down the straight with yes, yes, yes to just tick off the stallion seal of approval.
Go to a couple of our keen listeners too. Heads up and hats off to Sky Racing. I think it was Marco who put the couple of minutes to go before Black Heart Bar, and he gave it a good push. Thank you. Says Hot Potato. Might have been Mark Hunter, was it?
Did he?
Yeah, well, well done, obviously. I actually thought the horse was not actually in the race.
I thought it was retired, so
yeah. Had a few mates in there. It looked like Dad's Army down the straight, didn't it? But look, the runner-up should have won. He was huge off a wide run, but he's no star either. So there's certainly
Homespin. Yeah. So there you go. Homespin was all the rage. We got upstaged by Black Heart Bart 100-1. And Brad Ruil has now won that race on three occasions, including with Black Heart Bart 3 years ago. So it was quite amazing scenes. It's now 9:30, which means it's time to check out the sporting headlines with Madison.
Thanks, Terry. Well, Alex Dimonor is a Zhuhai champion. The Aussie young gun beat France's Adrian Marino 7-6-6-4 in the final in China. Dimonor is now 3 from 3 in the finals this year. The Roosters have the chance to become the first back-to-back premiers in 26 years this weekend. Trent Robinson will be sweating on the fitness, though, of Luke Keary, who's injured his ankle playing the Storm. Keary does insists, though, he is confident he'll play in Sunday's big decider. Meanwhile, Michael Checo has slammed the Rugby World Cup referees following their 4-point loss to Wales. The Wallabies coach says he was embarrassed by the officiating, which saw Samu Karivi penalised for raising his forearm while being tackled. The loss also leaves the Wallabies needing to win over Uruguay and Georgia to claim their spot in the next round, setting up a potential battle with England in the quarterfinals. That's all the latest in sport on Sky Sports Radio, your home to Sydney's spring racing carnival.
Thanks, Madison. We're going to take your calls next up on Punters Postmortem on 13 53 53. Text messages. I've got plenty, but I'll get through them. So text in 0419 767 272. Any queries for your panel? Glenn Munsey, Ronnie Duffacy, and David Gately are all ears.
Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing are combining to bring you everything in racing. Race tips, podcasts, race replays, and opinions from our array of form analysts. On Twitter, go to Sky Racing AU. And this spring, make it your number one home.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott have a filly with fabulous looks by Lonro. Champion 3-year-old, champion miler, horse of the year and champion sire with 83 stakes winners. From Mona Leisha, a city-winning 2-year-old, our filly is a half-sister to 4 winners, including Group 3 place Billy the Kid. Join our Dynamic Gay and Adrian team in this lovely Lonro filly at $12,925 per share. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network. Sky Sports Radio has your best racing start every morning.
Good day, sunshine.
Racing HQ has the breaking spring racing news. At 10, the New South Wales previews, and at 11, the whip around. It's required listening every day on Sky Sports Radio.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Plenty of calls. We'll get to them. Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. Early on, they were juicy sorts of odds, but punters sort of specked away at horses like But I Know and also Standout in races 2 and 3. And also, Mr. Seawolf, I've got to say, what was it, about 12s into 9s or something?
Well, as much as $14 first thing in the morning, TK. But I Know was as much as $21, got into as short as 11, and it was a little sneaky go in the tab high. When they sort of single a couple out, well, I shouldn't say single a couple out, but when they sort of back a few...
We know what you mean, mate.
At big odds in the highway, gee, they can run a race.
Well, they can, can't they?
And they do it week in and week out, but Mr. Seawolf was well supported, and Lizzie, that was one of Lizzie's pick of the yard. There, she had a good day in the pick of the yard, but... that horse there of Gerald's that
standout. Isn't he a good trainer?
It was another sneaky little go. It was around about 16 or 17, got into around about $12 and got the money there.
Well, here's one, Ronnie. People are asking regarding that race. So we had Standout the winner from Cosmic Force, who was pretty good. Maybe Fitness just gave out there, but wants to know how. What would you do with Pandemic and where to now? What did you think of the run?
Yeah, look, he just got a little hamper on the point of the turn there. He was inside a horse that laid on him a little bit, and he seemed to lose his concentration. Okay. But halfway down the straight, I thought, when he got out, I thought he was going to do what he did on the Kensington track that day and really dash, and he didn't. Look, he went well, but as far as going to that next level of a, you know, I don't know, a Roman consul or something like that, I think...
Okay. Yeah, I'd be jury out.
I just think this is... Like Cosmic Force, or it was just race fitness, or where the winner had been up and running and put a couple together. Cosmic Force was first up. He went well, looked well. He's the improver out of that race. Some nice horses there. Session, he really looks in really, really good shape, but more so for a...
Bellevue Hill didn't.
No, he's...
Did he go amiss?
I've been worried about him all along. Yeah. Ever since he galloped with Thinking Big between races.
Right.
He just hasn't come up. I think. I think he's ready to go into the paddock after one run.
Right. Okay.
Hasn't come up.
Yeah. I think Huey said in the stewards inquired as to why he didn't go back inside on Pandemic, and he said he's a little bit field shy.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And he said that, you know, that was how he was successful doing it when he went on the Kenzo track there and was on the outside in the Yow Dash race his next run, but didn't really run the trip there. So, he just still learning.
I've got the esteemed panel here ready to take your calls and your queries on 13 53 53. David Gately listening intently in Melbourne and across everything happened in Sydney as well. Ronnie Duffersey, Glenn Munsey. Let's get to line three. Hello. No, line... Yeah, line three. Hi, Shirley.
Oh, yes. Good morning. Am I talking to Glenn Munsey?
Yes, you are, Shirley. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'd just like to voice my opinion. My husband and I have been regular race goers for about 63 years. So we're on the age pension.
Right.
And we turned up for the shorts race Saturday week ago. And the fare's always been $5 in. When we turned up for the races, they were $17.50 with no notice.
Right. Okay. So
that's at the gate, just to get in.
Yes, to get in. And also, I rang up Randwick on Monday and I talked to somebody called Adam Smith, marketing manager, and he has given me the prices right up until the Eagles.
The Golden Eagle?
Yes, the Golden Eagles. It's still $17.50. You can't tell me if it's going to stay at that or is it going back to $5?
If we had our chance, Shirley, we'd make it $5.
Yeah. I would say the reason it went up is the shorts meeting 2 weeks ago was the start of what is called the Everest Carnival.
But so they should be able to say,
come on, Glenn. Give them $5 for a pensioner.
Well, it's my fault, of course, but, I would say that would be the reasoning the ATC would give you. It is classified as a carnival meeting and therefore...
She doesn't want a reason, prices. She wants a solution.
Yeah. Well, I think if Shirley, you know, fair enough, they put it up to $17.50, but she should get an answer if it's going to be still $17.50 for the next couple of weeks. That's what she's asking.
Let him in for five.
They should be able to tell her that.
I think you should be getting in for nothing to go there. But funnily enough, if you charge people zero to get to the races, you don't get any extra people going.
Give the pensioners a chance, Clem. Why are you so tough?
Well, I'm lucky with my pension that, I don't have to worry about it. But,
We should be looking after people like Shirley.
Well, at least
17.50 to get in's a fair whack if you're a pensioner.
Say that again.
You got to try and back a winner, feed yourself, water yourself. Okay. We'll try and get a response from the ATC. We'll try and find out exactly whether it's going to go back to $5 or stay at $17.50 for the carnival. $13.53. Hi, Les.
Good morning, fellas. Great show.
Thank you.
Yeah, just a simple question, matey. Where is Flit and Elise, where they're heading off to? Can somebody help me out there?
Well, Flit goes to the 1,000 Guineas, where she's a $3.50 favourite. So I think they were. If she would have won yesterday, I was hearing they were going to run her in the Caulfield Guineas against the boys. But I read a story last night that James and Godolphin say, well, she was inconclusive there, not getting a clear run, so they'll take on the Caulfield Guineas.
Right.
The Caulfield 1,000 Guineas against the girls, and Elise is going to run in the. If it's not the Everest, she'll run in the Sydney Stakes on the same day.
Which is the consolation. Not the consolation, but
which can make her an emergency for the Everest if something happens to a horse, gets a temperature in the morning. You know, they can nominate emergencies, but they've got to be in that Sydney Stakes.
Right. Okay. So to be a late call-up, to get a start off the bench, so to speak, you've got to be in that Sydney Stakes. Now, hasn't the time from the Sydney Stakes on the 2 years so far been quicker than the winning time for the Everest? Which is quite a...
We won't let the facts get in front of the story.
To get a start in first grade, TK, you've got to be play reserve grade first.
Yeah, but it's true, TK. But there was half an inch of rain between the two races last year.
Don't worry about that.
We didn't ask about the conditions.
See, I like my version of the truth so much better. Spoilt sport. 13.53.
Thanks, fellas.
No, thank you. Thank you. No, Flit, just no possible. Ran into a brick wall come the weekend.
Well, she's a $15 chance in the Caulfield Guinea, so she's still there in the market.
I wouldn't, after reading last night, I wouldn't take it.
This is along those lines. Hey, guys, love the show. Quick question. Do you think a horse can win the Everest without a lead-up race a fortnight before? Example, Elise won't race until Everest Day. Could it win if it gets a slot first up from a month off? Gator, do you have a thought there?
Yeah, absolutely it can. I mean, history is littered with first-up winners, and winners off a break just depends on the individual athlete, doesn't it? And Elise's best chance of success is probably to be fresh.
Okay.
And in her time, has five wins first up. Five wins first. That's her go.
Many of these horses have that sort of first-up form. One, because they're elite.
Trainers aren't dills. They know even Anthony Friedman says, Santa Annalene's got to run it. He's got to run this weekend. It would have been the ideal if he ran the weekend before. They know these horses. He knows he's a second-up horse. We know Elise is a mad fresh horse, and especially at 1,200. And we know in her time can go first up.
TK Duff, Gator, Glenn, what about the run of Merrill in the Moya? Thought it was good going to the 1,200 next start. She's going to be a good bet just over a length. Fennec.
Yeah, well, there was only three lengths down to Viridina and 11th. So it was certainly a blanket go, but she's run very well twice now at Wait for Age here in Melbourne. And that was after being thrashed by Mizzy in Sydney, and hasn't that form been well franked? So it's probably another benchmark to show the difference between the states at that age group, it seems.
Yep. Mizzy wins again. I don't know how often on this program, Duff, we've said mare's in form, stay in form, and same when they're out of form too, isn't it?
Yeah, she'd be, deep-ended all last prep, and she had a poor winning strike rate, and she's resumed with confidence after being toughened up in the Coolmores and those sort of races, and she's just got that beautiful racing style and can sprint home.
Yep, I thought Invincibella was finished off well, and that was the race where Enticing Star was just disappointing.
Yeah, she was. Wasn't set up for her, but she showed no gate speed. She didn't travel off a slow speed. And I thought she'd have more dash at 1,400 first up, but she didn't. Disappointing at $2.50, but it didn't unfold the way she would have liked it, or she didn't. She didn't make it happen for herself. Just put it that way.
Cameron, good morning.
Good morning, boys. A question for Ronnie. Do you know youngsters heading towards the Caulfield Cup?
I think you'll know more after Saturday. Okay. I think she'll either run in the Hill or the Metrop. I think she might run in the Hill Stakes. I think it's the plan. I do. I think Chris takes his four-year-old very quietly, and she's shown that she can, you know, perform at spring. So I'm anticipating he's treating her like a Cups prospect this year. Question whether I think she's going well. I think she's.
Yeah.
I think what weight should be carrying?
No, I don't. I can look it up for you, but she.
How long can we stick with her for?
No, look, I don't know. She is a likeable horse.
Yeah, very likeable, but can prove a little bit costly.
She can, yeah. But look, she's probably got a target race. She ran so well in the Cup last year, that's probably her target.
Cup or Melbourne Cup?
I think both. I think both, but Chris is, he'll have a plan in his head. And just keep an eye on the order of entries there and anything like that if you're betting into these markets. You like a little bit of head start.
She's got 54 in the Metrop. She's got 52.5 in the Caulfield Cup. And she's got 52 in the Melbourne Cup.
Okay. Well, she's about an order of entry there?
About a $26 chance, I think, in the Caulfield Cup.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you. Well done. Always a bit of a favourite for Chrissy Waller, too. Young star. 13.53. Yeah, Mizzy, very, very good. Three straight wins there for Anthony Cummings, winning that golden pendant. And enticing star was no doubt a distant fifth, blowing in the market for the Everest after that disappointing effort first up. 13.53.53. Down to Ray we'll go. Hi, Ray.
Hi.
Hi, Ray.
Yes, mate. Hello.
Good, mate. You're on the air. You got a query?
Yeah, I have. A couple of weeks ago, I took a all-up parlay, Formula 4, on the Sydney races. The first one ran third, but as there was only six runners, it turned out, the next one won, the next one ran third, I think it was, and the last one won.
So you had two winners and two thirds, but in the first one, there was only six runners in the race.
That's correct.
Yep.
And when I went to get, I thought, well, it's an all-up parlay. If that the situation, the money goes on to the next race. That's why it's an all-up. And they turned around and told me that I don't get paid because the race become null and void because there was only six runners in the first league. And so, they took me money anyway.
So there was no third dividend?
That's correct.
Right.
So was
That's paramutual.
That's paramutual. So that wasn't a fixed odds bet, Ray, that you'd had. That must have been paramutual.
It was a parlay Formula 4.
Yep, paramutual.
Well,
not fixed odds.
The first one is only six runners for a place.
Yeah, but only pays 1-2 because there's six runners.
Yeah, but to collect on the place bet, they had to go 1-2. Yeah.
I know that.
I'm
78 years of age.
Oh.
I've been punting a long time. And the special dividend from the Daily Double, that was scrapped. And the tab takes it on their chin to put me on their selection in the last race, which is usually the favourite.
That's the substitute rule. You go on to the paramutual favourite.
Yeah, Ray, I don't have a solution there for you.
I do.
Yeah.
You're betting me $5 off me.
But you backed a horse to run a place.
But there was no third dividend, Ray.
And there's only pays 1-2.
The bet should be nullified before a race starts.
No,
well, it wasn't nullified because if you...
There's a place dividend paid for the winner. There's a place dividend paid for the second horse. There is no third dividend. You ran third.
Yeah.
I understand that. If you want to talk to me. Don't talk beyond someone else. Anyway, I think that is not an all-up bet.
Yeah. All right. Ray, we thank you for your... I understand your frustration, but there was no third dividend. So, we'll move on. 13.53.53. Morning, fellas. Is the Epsom going to be a reasonably strong race, or will few of the horses high in the market race elsewhere? Cheers, Dina. We've currently got Tiako Shark, co-owned by Cronulla rugby league legend in Paul Gallen.
Well, he's the favourite. Mm-hmm. So
he's running.
Yeah, Cascadian looks as though it'll get a run now. Robbie Dolan's going to ride it. Yep. So your market's got Tiako Shark, the $5 favourite, in front of Dreamforce and Colding at six a pair. The winner from Newcastle the other day, Rock, is an $8 chance. Then you've got Cascadian and Gem Song on the backup at $11 each of two. Then you've got Best of Day, Star of the Seas, Very Elegant, 15, and then quite a number of them at $26. So it's a pretty deep field when you get to horses like Desert Lord, 50 Stars, Natoya, Noir, Tom Melbourne. They're all your $26 chances, so it's a pretty deep race.
I'd say the only doubtfuls out of the top of the market there would be probably Very Elegant, who might run in the Hill Stakes. Other than that, I think from Best of Days up in the market, they'll all be runners. They'll all be runners, I'd say, for sure. I think they've all been had jockeys booked for them, so that's a good indication that they're going to run. But anything from Star of the Seas down, I'm not sure of.
Thanks for that, Duff, as well. I've got a bit of a frog in my throat.
Don't worry, TK, no one will rush to help you.
No, exactly right. There's no one putting their hand up here for mouth to mouth, I can tell you.
Someone just locked the door, they told me.
You know what? They don't know what they're missing.
Here's your opportunity, Glenn.
They don't know what they're missing out on. Alex, good morning to you.
Morning, guys. Listen, I've been really blessed over the last couple of weeks and months to come with having some involvement with Classic Legend and looking after the horses security-wise.
Oh, great.
So, which has been a really good opportunity for me. And I just wanted to offer to buy the lovely
Shirley.
Lady, Shirley, her tickets for whatever next race meeting she'd like to go for her and her partner. So I was very lucky with my grandparents introducing me to racing at a very young age. So I think everyone should experience the day. And if I feel like it's a bit rough on them, so I'm happy to buy their tickets for their next carnival event they want to go to.
Good on you, Alex. We appreciate that. That's very, very generous. We'll get your details and we'll pass them on to Shirley.
Amazing.
Shirley rang earlier.
You beat Ronnie to it by probably a couple of seconds.
I know there's costs involved with putting meetings on, but I'd love to see the pensioners, you know, $5. Yeah.
They want to go to the races. There's not many people that want to go to the races anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say there'd be more pensioners at the races than there'd be full-paying adults.
Yeah.
And that pensioner price going, according to Shirley, from $5 up to $17.50 without notice, according to Shirley. Bob, good morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Really well, thanks, Bob.
Mate, I just got out. I've been punting for a long time, just the same as all you blokes.
Yep.
Mate, these Western Australian horses, Pushing Shapes, Gadding, Blackheart Bart, mate, there's got to be some questions asked by the stewards on their form. Like, Gadding wins 2 weeks ago.
100-1.
100-1. What did he do yesterday? He's done nothing. Pushing Shapes, I watch Western Australian racing quite frequently.
Right.
Pushing Shapes couldn't win a race at Kalgoorlie, let alone Caulfield. It comes out yesterday at 71 wins. Blackheart Bart hasn't won a race in, what, 2-3 years. Lindsay Smith gets it, wins the Western Australian trainer, and it comes out and beats, okay, Holmes was not a champion, but he's a pretty good horse. Now, what will Blackheart Bar do next week when he runs or the week after?
Well,
mate, there's some questions need to be asked. It's not a matter of form reversals or whatever. Mate, the stewards need to ask some serious questions. Otherwise, racing, as blokes like me have been following racing for 40 years, are going to start giving it away like football.
Okay. Bob, I've got no doubt stewards, not much gets under their guard. Gator, are there horses that you've been watching? You've seen these performances, but they are massive boil overs, but it does happen in the world of racing. But Bob just makes that common link of the threat from WA.
Yeah, no, look, with great respect, Bob, I think you're drawing a long bow there. It seems to be just coincidental. I mean, Blackheart Bart is a genuine Group 1 star. Obviously, yeah. He'd had a range of issues, has bounced back with an absolute dream run, albeit I think he'd be beaten next time he runs because I think the competition will go up. The Push and Shapes race was just an odd race. They stopped and started. He had the perfect trail behind the leader, Mascalino, who isn't exactly flying. And all the run-on horses were just left behind. So it was just an odd race there as well. And Gadding won a fast Maccabi Diva, beat an underdone Mystic Journey. So it was a good scalp. But yesterday, he missed the start and had to work. to sit up second.
He wasn't hopeless.
Yeah, and he only faded late. He's only beat two lengths or something. Yeah. I mean, it was hardly a disgraceful effort. But he just it wasn't the ideal run for him, whereas he probably needs the ideal run where Blackheart Bart had the ideal run.
And it probably the frustration in the gentleman's voice there is that the stewards didn't even ask a question, you know, in improved effort.
Every winner.
Yeah.
No, don't worry. Yep. They're not gun shy about asking questions, the stewards. And not much gets under their guard.
No, I think they do a great job.
I think our stewards do a really good job. They're trying to stay one step ahead of everybody if there is anything untowards, and ask the trainers and jockeys what sort of job they think the stewards are doing. I don't think they're getting invited to their birthday parties, which clearly means that the stewards are doing a really good job. Hi, Shane. Good morning.
How are you, boys?
Really well, Shane.
That's all right. I just got a couple of questions. The first one was Kubrick's run the Golden Rose. What were your thoughts on that?
I expected a little bit more. Mm. I still think if he gets to the Caulfield Guineas, I want to back him. Because I still think he's got improvement to come. Whether he's got a bit of thinking cult in him now, I don't know. But he was okay without raving on Saturday. But that we've got to understand.
I was a bit disappointed, Duff.
Yeah, look, he missed the start. He gave him a rev. He got travelling.
Yeah.
I hope everyone forgets about him because I'll be backing him in the Caulfield Guineas if he goes there and runs there.
Okay, he's still a $9 chance there. That Dallas Sam was
better than that.
Dallas Sam got home well yesterday. I'm trying to remember all the different days now. Yesterday, wasn't it?
Yep.
$4 favourite for the Caulfield Guineas. Anything else, Shane?
Yeah, I was going to ask Munns a question. I noticed North Watch has been removed from the Epsom market. Does he know what the reason behind that is?
Well, they've evidently said he's not running. Okay. We only remove them from the market when...
No, but he's just asking you, do you know if the horse has gone amiss or it's going somewhere else? He's not...
I don't know. He's in Melbourne. Keep track of every horse.
Yeah, he's in Melbourne. Maybe that's the rest of his plan, but he's obviously... Yeah. I'd be very wary of backing him unless I saw him in the acceptances.
Good on you, Shane. Thank you for your call, 1353-53. Can we go up to line one? Not engaged yet. As engaged as far as we're concerned.
A note here. Entry the ATC carnival prices. Pensioners are always half of the general admission. Winter and public holidays a free entry there, and Night's Watch in the Turnbull.
I guess I know it'd be like, not that I go to the movies, Glenn, but I imagine it's like, you know, Saturday nights. Your pensioner rate would be a percentage of what the rate is on a Saturday night compared to what it is on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, well...
Anybody go to the movies here?
The last time I went to the movies was in a different country.
Yeah, gone... It's a long way to go to see a movie.
It was a long way to go to the movies, yeah.
Up to line one. Hello, Kurt.
Morning, Terry. How are you?
Good, thank you.
150 to go.
150 to go.
Hey, boys, I love all these meetings, how they interlock so closely. The form's all there for everyone to see. I love it, boys. What do you think of it?
More the better.
Mate, renewal form. Backed it off the Star of the Seas form the other day. Another horse that won during the week in Sydney, Tony's Reward. Trial form there. Prophet Thumb, the God of Thunder, flying home on Friday night. The Hummer form winning on Friday night. Shepherd backed it because of Blood Oath winning in a Benella. No effort yesterday. Shepherd winning. Rib Bridges. It's unbelievable, boys. It's all there for everyone to see. No one's hiding anything.
Well, give us one, Kurt.
Not everywhere, Kurt. No. You must be
great
barred.
To be alive.
You know, you just keep backing winners.
Kurt, give us one to follow. Give us a lock.
I'll give you a lock today. Lord Markel. Now, if form's anything to go by, this is what... Dick Callender used to say, it's like stealing wheat off blind chooks. This thing, it's got the Barkali form. It's got the trial form Barkali come out and won the first at the Valley on Friday night. King of Hastings and Zushak race, mind you. Barkali won again before that. So this thing, I got it at 290 today. This is stealing wheat off blind.
Okay, chicken. What is it again?
Race 4, number 7, Lord Markel at Geelong.
Race 4, number 7, Lord Markel at...
225.
Geelong. Now, 2:25. Good on you, Kurt. We do thank you for your call. Guys, can you ask Gator about Super Seth? Thought his run was really good. They didn't seem to go fast in the Guineas Prelude. Also, Dallasan looks like still needs some time to mature. Cheers, Shannon.
Certainly, both of those comments I'd strongly agree with. Dallasan just cost himself again. He should be unbeaten, this horse, if he wasn't a bit of a nuffy. You see him, rider Raquel Clark changed whip hands, and he was laying in behind them, and he didn't quicken. His last 100 was outstanding. So the race rated really well relative to the girls on the day. Not relative to Sydney, but relative to the girls. Super Seth was terrific as well. Mile back, actually copped a bit of a prat when Your Deal lost the pilot. And it wasn't really a day to be swooping. He's run on very well, albeit 5 lengths off the fourth horse. Those first four all sat right up on the speed. So his run was very good. I think he can run well in a Guineas. Dallasan, probably the one to beat. I'd love to see a set of blinkers go on, which is probably... Well, they're certainly considering it anyway.
I've just got one for Gator before we go.
And sure, mate.
Look, I know I...
Yeah, what, a winner or a query?
I just want to ask you about a horse. I don't know if you had time to assess everything. I know he didn't run a good overall time, but he's got style, this horse, Harbour Views.
Yeah, well, I mean, he had no overrunning time off that tempo. That was absolute barrier trial speed. I think I clocked the first 800 metres as 51.76. It's about as slow as horses go. So put it this way, the two Guineas will run around 49 seconds. So they went about, you know, some 14 lengths slower the first bit of the race. But the win was fabulous, wasn't it? Because not only sat wide for most of the trip, he was back off a slow speed, just rounded them up. There's something to be genuinely excited about. I thought he was the most exciting horse looking at that card going into the meeting, including some of those three-year-olds. And I think he was the winner of the day.
Okay. And just on Blackheart Bart too, this comes in, which is a good one. It says, Lindsay Smith got interviewed during the week, boys, about the chances of Blackheart Bart. He said that Brad Warilla said it was going really, really well. Cha-ching, the quaddie pops in, says Retro. So there you go. If you listen to Sky Sports Radio right throughout the week, all the programs and all the interviews that is done by the guys, you can certainly find some winners at 100-1. Gator, you got a horse to follow?
Look, I think Flit to win the 1,000 guineas, mate.
Flit to win the 1,000 guineas after having no luck whatsoever on the weekend. What about you, Duff?
I'm going to cop that seal of approval with Harbour Views and follow him through.
Okay.
Don't know what price he's going to be, but he'll step up in class. He might get some price. And I want to make a case. I think it was... I may have just gone off too soon with Emma Geary on Saturday. She wasn't. She just one soft trial leading into a 1400 with a tearaway leader. So it's hard work.
It was fourth. Or was it or okay?
No. You jump on, I'll stay on. Oh. You jump off, I'll stay on.
Yeah. Well, you know me. I can't afford it. I haven't got your wealth.
No, I don't know. It's slowly diminishing.
I've got to get off early.
Yeah.
So you'd stick with Emma Geary.
Yeah, I would. I would.
Okay. No, I'm not. It wasn't a sackable offence come the weekend.
No.
Could have run third, you know.
She's got a bit of a camp. She's got a spring campaign ahead of her.
Sure.
And I think she'll keep improving.
Baby steps, eh?
Baby steps.
Baby steps there. Glenn, you got one for us?
I'd stick with any of the three-year-olds out of Sydney, but I'm not getting off yes's back. And Gator, I asked Dino about a horse on Saturday morning that ran at the Valley on Friday night, Serengeti. Of Pat Carey's. He looks a nice staying type.
Yeah, it does. And there was certainly a nice effort. It was a bit of a busy finish, though, that race. But, no knock. It's a progressive horse for sure. In really good hands.
Gator, Ronnie, Glenn, thank you very much.
Thanks,
TK.
Look forward to what's going to be a wonderful week of racing, building up to what is a great day on the calendar. That is Epsom Metrop Day. Just remember, if you've got your ticket to the Rugby League Grand Final, that does give you free entry to the races come the weekend, which we look forward to immensely. Stay tuned to Sky Sports Radio for all the big news regarding the racing, the horses that are going forward, the jockeys, and also the trainers, Andrew Bensley, Sean Cosgrove, and the entire team will have that all covered, as Madison does with the news and the sporting headlines at 3 minutes after 10.